Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 131 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. To our first timers, pull up a chair and get cozy with your favorite beverage. And to everyone else, thanks for hanging out with us again today. I'm Lady Buddha, and joining me tonight is Mr. Jerner Burdad. Ms. Think Pretty Smart is not able to be on with us this evening, but the two of us together will discuss everything from current events, relationships, education, politics, and entertainment, all with a feminine twist. So, as of this recording, Sojo, we're closing out an epic Black History Month, wouldn't you say?
You're so professional.
You can't help yourself.
You just sound so professional. Because when I do it, I just be like, hey, y'all. What's
no, you don't. I'm anyway.
Like, we discuss everything from.
You've been drinking. So let's just skip to what it is that you are drinking so that we can all be on the same page. What's getting you lit over there?
My namesake that I haven't had in a long time, Moonshine. Apple pie flavored Firefly Moonshine.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, I was off last week, which was cool and actually very relaxing, but I hit the ground running at work. This has been an extra long day. So I said, you know what, Self, you deserve this.
Self-care is
moonshine by your bed on your nightstand. So,
oh, goodness. Do you also have water to help make sure your liver is okay?
Yes, I do. Actually, my water is infused with lavender and ginger.
You're doing so much.
So as soon as I get lit, I'll be hydrated and ready to perform at work tomorrow.
You are doing so much. Well, anyway.
I will sound just as professional as you when I walk into the job tomorrow.
Everybody, I apologize in advance. I don't know what else is going to happen. I have the wheel, but Sojo might snatch it from me. Okay. At any rate, so Epic Black History Month is also almost my birthday. So it's February. It's just awesome all around. My birthday is on the 26th. So whenever you guys hear this, just send me a shout, give me a tweet, tell me happy birthday. Yep. Shameless plug for me.
It is Pisces season. I saw the ladies over at the Pisces Life kicking it off strong because it's a whole bunch of podcasters with Pisces.
Rich, if two guys want to show, is Pisces.
Kyla and Letitia.
Letitia.
Is Queen Nene a Pisces too?
I want to say yes, but I don't want to put her on the wrong zodiac.
Oh, you don't want to let her in the club unless she shows
ID. I'm just saying, I don't, you know, people be real protective. You'd be mad if I called you a Pisces. I know how y'all Scorpios do.
Yeah.
At any rate, okay, so I'm drinking water and a Grand Marnier orange juice, which is my current fave that I got in strong rotation. But I'm gonna keep it calm over here, so I'll do my normal my whiskey style. And I'll try to keep you calm over there. All right, so let's just jump right on into the feedback. Remember, everybody, we love 5-star reviews. And if you write us a note to accompany those 5 stars, we'll read it on the air. A note that we like, by the way. You can leave those great notes on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can tweet us at Whiskey Wine Moon. Hit us up on Facebook or drop us a note at feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. So what you got over there, Sojo?
Oh, so I'm supposed to read after drinking my moonshine. No, our first comment is from iTunes, and it's a 5-star review from Miss Nick. It's short, sweet, and to the point. Mrs. Nick says, love the show. Keep up the good work. And I didn't even realize that she was still listening to us. So it was actually a very pleasant surprise to see her leave the feedback. So thank you, Mrs. Nick. That was really sweet.
Aw, that's nice. Thank you.
And then we had a letter come in from Janella. She wrote us, of course, at our email address, feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. And she said, "Hi, ladies. I'm in the middle of your episode on Black Excellence Extravaganza. There is so much good stuff in this episode so far, including the part about Michelle Obama trying to pull a Nah, I ain't moving to DC at the beginning of the Obama presidency," which we all know she really did. She says, "But I love the part of the episode when you're talking about old Black recipes. My family is from Trinidad, and I remember calling my grandmother to ask her how to make coconut drops. One of my favorite things that she made when I was growing up was coconut drops, and I wanted to try to make it for our college's annual Kwanzaa potluck. That crazy lady told me to take some flour, get a coconut, break it and grate it, but save the water." And then she put in parentheses, "I already knew I wasn't doing that." "Then add a good bit of sugar, two or three eggs, and a tip of baking soda. When I asked her how much flour, she told me to fill my hand with flour and then cut it in half. This is when I bought my first Caribbean cookbook, and in hindsight, I should have had her go over the recipes and fix them. Okay, I'm going back to the episode now." And when I read this, I just started cracking up because your grandmother is in Trinidad. My grandmother was in Jackson, Mississippi, and it's the exact.
You know what? Based on that, the conversation and the fact that I've tried a new recipe, new to me, the family has been eating it for a while, but I cooked something for the first time today. And listen, this recipe called for no spices except for a little bit of salt. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen written on paper. So I was like, I gotta put something in here. I gotta make it real. So since I didn't know how much of anything, I just, picked some of my favorite things and I put them in a palm and decided, okay, that looks like the right amount that I want to put based on my palm. I didn't, because there was no measuring. So it was kind of cool. I felt like I was doing something in the proud tradition of Black women cooking.
Right. And I started doing that too, just started going by instinct as opposed to the real recipe thing, because in my opinion, when the elders make the food, that food is good. So yeah, I try to, but it's funny when you ask them like for stuff and they're like, "A good bit of sugar." Well, what is
A
a
tip of
good
flour.
bit?
I could
Right,
see
a tip of like a tip of what? My fingernail? My think Was it the whole finger bed? Is it, what are you talking about, girl? But just to Janella's point, I think that's the thing that I missed with my grandmother too, especially now that I'm older and I really enjoy cooking a lot more than I did when I was younger. That's one of the things that I regret too, is not having her to be underneath her, and see her, do all those things. I saw it when I was younger, but I didn't really have an appreciation for it like I think I would now.
Yeah, that's one of the things I miss about my mom is that, I mean, even though she did follow recipes at least, the first couple times through, there's a lot of things that she made that I like to eat that I have no idea how to make them. And they're, I actually just yesterday was, yeah, y yesterday, I came across a folder of recipes of stuff that she gave me. Like I recognized her handwriting in a couple of places, and there was an email that I printed out from her, and I was really glad to find it. But there's a couple of things that I know I didn't ask her about, and every now and again, I kick myself because I'm like, oh, nobody else knows how to make this.
Well,
Oh.
it's that's when my mother and I started the tradition, actually, after my grandmother passed, of making that a thing for us, because I don't have a large family, so it's just, me and my mom, and we have other family members, like extended family members, that we could visit during holidays, and sometimes after we eat, we do. But our tradition is always we alternate homes. Like, I'll spend a night over her house, Christmas, or she'll spend a night over my house Thanksgiving, and then we make it a thing where we're together cooking. But that's the thing, we always have that conversation when we're in the kitchen. God, I wish Grandma Sojo was here. Because even though my mom, she's a hand, mixer too, but she always says, and I think my mom's food is delicious, and she's always like, "Yeah, but it's not like my mama's." And then she'll say, "Sojo," I was about to say my government name. She'll say, "Sojo, this is really good." And I say, "Yeah, but it's not like yours, or it's not like grandma's." So, yeah.
That's cool though. I'm glad that I've been able to make some changes in my schedule and really take time. Like the recipe that I made today is something that my stepdaughter really wanted the last couple of weeks. And like I say, they're used to having it, but I had never made it before. So I wanted
to make it. Are they in there with you? Were they in there with you when you were making it?
No, because they were at school.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it actually took a strong 90 minutes. That's what I was going to say. It actually took an hour and a half because there's a lot of chopping and, you know, dicing. And even though I'm getting much faster at it, you know, there's just a lot of prep. And then it's a soup. So there's kind of the time that it takes to make it or whatever. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's just kind of lengthy, but I was just glad to have the time to take my time because, you know, I tweet sometimes when I'm cooking. Cooking is meditation because when I don't feel rushed and I feel like I can take my time, I really do feel like cooking is love. Like I feel like I can put that energy in it and I feel like I can be creative with the spices and smell, you know, do all the things that I know that good cooks do, but that up until the last few years, I would just, you know, measure and then that's it. Like I have to stick by the rules, but with now I'm freer to experiment and try new things, and you know, so far so good, and I'm having a good time. So
I like turning into an experience too, like turning the music up and dancing.
Oh yes,
cooking and, yes, you know, just all of that. Like I love it. Like I have fun in the kitchen. Yes. So
well, I have a soundtrack and lighting, so I actually try to schedule cooking. Like, it's even though this is one particular recipe that I know she would have liked to help make, I also, because I do kind of, you know, the introvert in me likes to cook when most of the house is empty or all the house is empty. Blue was there today working from home, but usually I'm alone, and so I'll blast whatever the latest soundtrack is that's captured my attention, and I'm like jamming in the background and singing and got my whatever I'm drinking, you know. I really like it. So anyway,
I was doing I tweeted the other day that I was downloading there's choreography for Formation. This guy does choreography for Formation, so I learned a choreography, so I turned the choreography on, so I was learning his choreography while I was cooking, and then while something was going, then I turned the song back on and do the whole thing. And I was like, Lord, if somebody saw me right now, they would be dying laughing. But yeah,
they would love it. Y'all know Sojo is a dancer.
I love it's true. Dance now.
Y'all, I'm not going to call you out, but
don't do it.
You can't be spotted places. I'm not going to say. I'm just saying.
Don't do it.
Anyway, okay. Any other feedback? I think there's one. There's a tweet.
Yeah, we actually talked about a tweet that came through earlier today. It's from the Falcon Steva, Kim on Twitter, and she tweeted, talking about the episode from last week too, we were talking about Marley Diaz and how she, you know, was doing 1,000 books, you know, cause she got tired of reading about, you know, little white boys and was it trains? I can't remember what she said, but it was, you know, whatever. And we started talking about representation of books when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And I think we discussed Sweet Valley High and the Babysitter's Club and, you know, all that. Well, she tweeted, when I was little, I loved the Berenstain Bears books because that was the only brown family I saw. Now, mind you, they're actual bears. But mm-hmm. When I read the tweet, I responded to her, you know, OMG, I just realized that I low-key loved them for the exact same reason, but never thought about that, you know, until I actually read that tweet. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, I remember looking at them and thinking, oh, they seem familiar.
<You know>? They did seem familiar, but I don't think I made a conscious connection about it either.
Yeah, but I was glad she tweeted that because I hadn't even, that hadn't even crossed my mind.
That's so funny. Well, thank you for sending us tweets, you all, and engaging with us on social media. We always appreciate it. And is that it? Is that all our feedback for tonight?
Yep.
Okay, so that leads us perfectly into the beginning of our topic for this evening. And I want to start off by giving a little shout out to winter that has up until now, well, still not, it's not my favorite season. and it's cold right now. And it's supposed to be, it's winter. We still have several weeks left or a couple months, depending on where you are. But, you know, right here, I know spring is in the air. It's just around the corner. So I'm not a big fan of winter, but I do have to say this winter has been a true season of growth for me personally. And although I'm excited about spring, I do want to show some appreciation for winter. So here's my question for you, Sojo. What lessons, if any, have you learned from winter, either this winter in particular or winter in general?
We've kind of talked about it before, but I use the term cocooning, and that's usually what I do during the winter months, kind of like the seasons. I go within a little bit. I'm not as out loud as as I normally am. I think I even socialize less during winter because mainly I want to be reflective. Like I'm
You
doing
do
a lot of,
socialize less, just, as an outsider looking in.
you notice it?
Yeah, I notice it on social media, and just, you just get quiet.
Yeah, I think because I'm in my head planning or in my head reflecting or kind of reevaluating the previous seasons to see what I want, for the upcoming season. So I guess that's what winter is teaching me is to do that. And then just, on a shallow note,
I'm already
Winter teaches me to be sexy with my boots because that's boot season. I love
Mm-hmm.
spring and summer and the sundresses and all of that. But, I love to break out my boot collection, which I have hundreds of, just way too many boots. But yeah, so it teaches me to, even though it's cold, you don't have to be barren, I guess, like just because the leaves are falling doesn't mean you can't still blossom in
That's
winter or
true.
whatever. Because
That's true.
I strut during winter.
I'm jealous about your boot collection. I have some sexy boots too, but I pretty much had to start from scratch this winter. So
Girl, my boots are
we're gonna bring this strutting up again in a minute. That's
heavy.
so funny. And it's funny because I do notice that you cocoon, and I have heard you talk about it. And it was not until right this second after all these years that I realized that that's what I used to do too, but I didn't realize it because especially there were several years that I was in grad school, and I've talked about the fact that I was single for a long time. And so just living on an academic calendar, pretty much I could count on at least 2 weeks of silence in December. And so I always use that time to kind of clean out my closets and, just be by myself. I didn't go to activities and parties and all these things that people did. And I really enjoyed it. So it was actually a quite an adjustment when I had to come into a house where not only was it four of us total, but then we brought four more people in. I'm like, I'm supposed to be cleaning the closets right now. I'm not
Nope,
supposed to
it's
be
crunk
talking
time. Crunk Christmas. You're like, but I'm Buddhist. Why
No, I'm like, I don't even celebrate Christmas. What are
am
these people doing in
And
that?
their stockings and tinsel and
So I had to be more creative with cocooning. But this winter in particular, I had surgery close to winter. And so I was recovering this winter or at the beginning of the winter. So I just, it led me to be more appreciative. The lesson from this winter in particular was appreciation, because I was really just happy to be alive. I was telling y'all earlier that I really had to face my mortality with the surgery, and I really kind of didn't expect to be that deep about it, but it really kind of stressed me out, and I really did, say things like, "Well, you can't buy that yet, or you can't make those decisions yet, because who knows? Some people would go under, they don't come back up." But I was really being realistic. But it was kind of an interesting time period, that whole process. So, at any rate, but now I'm appreciative because I'm really able to move in my body. And honestly, that's really the reason why I've made a commitment to run in the winter, because I actually never do winter exercise outdoors. Like,
Yeah,
that's
that
when I.
actually surprised me when I, because you seem to enjoy it. I mean, I know you don't enjoy the cold, but you seem to really be getting into
I'm
this
getting
whole,
into it.
yeah, because I'm looking at you like, heffa no.
Yeah. I mean,
Like,
yeah, I used to actively just plan. Well, it's November. This is the end of my outdoor season. So I'll see y'all back in March. And if I look back at my old run keeper for several years, there were about a good 4 or 5 months when it's below 50 that I just don't go outside, period. But it's like this winter, because there were weeks where I couldn't drive my car or I couldn't even do serious grocery shopping, or I couldn't even put coffee mugs up on the tall shelf. it's like I committed at that time, you know, as soon as everything is working again, I'm not going to just be snuggled up in the bed talking about, oh, it's cold outside. I'm going to go outside and, you know, make up for some lost time. So that's what kind of led me to just run, no matter, you know, that it's cold. And it's what led me to my personal record. So, but the good news is, since I've been outside at all, but certainly more than usual this winter, you know, I have really started to appreciate the beauty in winter. So I have to give winter credit, and I have to soften my anti-winter stance.
Make amends with winter. I see you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm still the sun goddess, and I'm still prefer the warmth of the sun, but I have to thaw out my anti-winter campaign.
You got to stop that side face look you give winter.
Mm-hmm. All right. So any other lessons you got from winter?
No, I think that's kind of it. The cocooning thing is huge. Like it really is. So, because there's so much that goes on, you know, during that time. So.
And I love that, because I mean, that's what nature is doing too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's
kind of that's where I got it from, actually, as I started to want to, mimic my habits, and especially my body. When I started, remember a long time, this is years ago, when I read that book, Divine Nourishment.
Mm-hmm, I still have it.
And she was talking about eating seasonally, but I had a chance in the bookstore when she did a book signing. She also did like just a kind of round table or whatever with just her. And she talked about that was how our bodies were initially supposed to be when we were, where we were born, our DNA, you know, whatever, you know, part of the globe we were on, we were supposed to live that way. And we were supposed to, our habits were supposed to be that way. So when I heard her speak, that kind of struck with me, that kind of stuck with me. And I was like, if that's the case, then if it's winter here, you know, my DNA is in Africa, but still been working for a minute. But what am I supposed to be doing right now seasonally with my body? So that's what actually when I started changing my habits.
I didn't know it was a habit. I thought that was just something you did naturally, kind of like the closet clean.
Wow. No, it felt natural though. It was and maybe I did it before and just wasn't really conscious of it, you know, but I started to actually create little things to go along with it, or and gave it a name, you know. So
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, that does remind me that there's a lesson Smart shared with us, her lesson, that the importance of adding moisture back.
Yeah, she said she lotions more, which is true. You must lotion more.
Yep.
And my hairstylist said that because my hair gets drier in winter months, which I never noticed. She noticed it because she does my hair. And she says you need to moisturize more in the, you know, in the winter. And then I made the connection with, oh, maybe that's why my indoor plants are dying, because my house doesn't have moisture during the winter. Maybe it's the heat and the dry air, you know, in the house. So yeah, moisture is important.
It's a good point, because what I only realized this winter, and actually in the last couple of weeks, how hot, how dry my hair is right now. But I also, again, like I said, I normally don't spend as much time outside. So I clearly see how dry my hair is now. Just being outside, you know, three times a week in this cold, dry air. So it's kind of interesting, because I just washed my hair recently, and I'm like, why is my hair so dry?
I've been seeing you with your locks out underneath your little snow cap trying to be cute.
Well, you know what? It keeps my ears warm. And it's easier to put my little skull cap on. So it's actually warming. It's nice. All right. Okay. So, but that's perfect, because especially your idea about the boots, because that leads into us talking about geisha and modern or urban geisha. So on Valentine's Day, I saw this tweet from someone named Mostly Max. And she wrote, quote, I have to go out for dinner with the hubs later, and I cannot think of a cute way to stay warm. And I just burst out laughing, because I feel the same way sometimes in the winter. I start lamenting the fact that I can't wear some of the things that I, you know, my wraps and stuff that I wear in the spring and the summer. And so I wrote her back, the winter goddess struggle is so real. She wrote back, so real. Goddess in her bio too. It just made me laugh. But a couple of days ago, it was really nice here. And I took the time to wear one of my favorite outfits in celebration of the nice weather. And I found myself kind of...
No.
What?
I said you're naked? No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was. You know, I'm naked all the time.
Buddha don't wear clothes, y'all.
Yeah, I got clothes on because there's going to be kids. Well, the kids back now, they in the house. So that's it. Otherwise, I might not have on as many as, you know, you would think. At any rate, blah, blah, blah. This is a family show.
Not even when we edit it, says it's possible. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, I found myself with that outfit on kind of gliding in the middle of the grocery store, and I ran a couple of errands, a couple stores, and I was naturally easing my way into our old geisha practices. And I started getting some interesting reactions from people, you know, and that's when I realized that I was, you know, started getting ready for spring, really. And that I really wanted to talk with y'all about how can we, instead of just bundling up and waiting out winter, you know, kind of like, oh, here, winter is here, so there's nothing I can do except for wear our sexy hoe boots. You know, how can we really intentionally move into the spring? So that's the spirit behind what I want us to talk about today, about modern geisha, or in the spirit of code words and Black History Month, urban geisha or something like that. So first we got to talk about what is a geisha. You know, when we began our WhatsApp chat, we were talking about geisha early on. I don't remember why, whether it was just because the movie was on or because, I don't know. Do you remember why we started talking about Memoirs of a Geisha early on?
I actually think it was, the book, because I think I started reading the book, but it was after I saw the movie, because I didn't see the movie when it first came out. And then maybe we got into a conversation, you know, about it from there. I don't quite remember either, but then we just started talking about geisha practices, because there were so many, like DJ Kelly said, so many keys.
It was so much. It's, you know, right.
Yeah, but just about femininity, and because I think that's when we started having the whole femininity discussion. So we just kind of got in it from there.
Yeah, it's like one thing led to another. And it's, you know, like if we sit down and Google geisha, it says something like a Japanese hostess trained to entertain men with conversation and dance and song. And I remember you were bringing in like historical links and whatever. And I remember sitting there watching the movie, because I had watched it before, but I watched it again because we were talking about it. That's when you first started bullying us into watching stuff. So, Joe, I'm watching you.
Anyway, it's not bullying. It was consistent urging, but
it was really a persuasive, consistent urging. But so what I want to know is without, you know, we're not really worried about what the internet and what the real quote unquote definition is, but to you, what is a geisha?
Just exactly what the movie said. I think the definition that they said in the movie was actually perfect. It's like it's to be a moving piece of art, you know. And that actually is what hooked me, because then I was like, oh, I'm a moving piece of art. I'm art in progress, art in motion, you know? And so then I started thinking about, well, what does that mean? You know, what is art? Is it the way I move? Is it the way I dress? Is it the way I look? You know, all of that stuff. So yeah, moving piece of art.
I like that. Wow. I'm not going to share what I thought. I like that. I mean, we're going to use you. Let's use yours.
That's what
you. That was theirs. A moving piece of art. Well, it's interesting because the other thing we started talking about was influence and seduction. And I don't remember all the things you said about seduction, but we had a lot of real good conversations about, you know, how you can start to influence the people around you and your environment through being that moving piece of art. And that's exactly what happened to me. So when I wore that outfit or whatever, and that was I had to really start thinking about, because I got such strong reactions from people. And I really started thinking back, because of the fact that I had the surgery and was recovering, so I wasn't really, you know, in my body as much. And then before that, I kind of, you know, I would wear the clothes, but I didn't feel myself as much because I didn't feel like art. While I was kind of dealing with fibroids and all of that stuff. So I realized it had been a long time since I really felt that way. And so this is the first time that I had the opportunity to kind of dress it and be it and feel it. And it happened naturally. And people you know, in two different stores, like stopped me and talked to me, and people started moving out of their way to, you know, moving out of my way. And I was just like, wow. So anyway, because that's what
being
made
in that moment, being in that moment changes the energy in the room. Because you mentioned seduction, but and usually when you say seduction, people always immediately go to sex or always immediately go to an interaction between a man or woman or, you know, whatever. But seduction can be anything. It could be drawing a crowd to you, you know, to listen to what you're saying. If you're giving a presentation, it can be, you know, if you're running for office, seducing a crowd of people to vote for you, or, you know, whatever. And so then those tools, that energy, having that power, and I think everybody has that power in some way, shape, or form. You just have to know how to harness it. And you really can't, like, I know I can turn it off and turn it on if I want to, but I didn't realize that at first. You know, that's, you know, I always joke because this is Sam, you know, calls me a witcher, you know, whatever, but I just feel like that's my magic. That's the magic.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, I mean, but it was striking. I mean, like, there's the lady who works at the butcher counter at my local grocery store. I see her regularly, but she stopped and walked over to me and pulled me by the arm and turned me around so I would look at her so she could tell me, you know, to give me a compliment or whatever. And I was just like, well, damn. And then when I left,
told you, you unconsciously do it. You remember when I told you this had to be like 10 years ago when we, my sisters, we got together for whatever the, what's the thing where you go eat? It's not the taste, whatever it is when we have the thing where like you restaurant week. That's what it is.
Restaurant week. Yeah.
And
I know exactly.
Yeah. And we went somewhere, and I mean, I've known you all my life, you know, so I really don't pay attention to you. I mean, cause you're booted, you know, whatever, right. But for whatever reason it was, when you came in, you had on one of your little wraps and, you know, whatever, and you came and you just stood for a minute and surveyed the room. And I remember being like, damn, she bad. Like, and everybody noticed it, because I think Lions is too. We all were like, look at Buddha. Like, I mean, you weren't doing anything in particular. It was just that you were pausing.
Yes.
And allowing, you were drawing the energy towards you.
But look, it's perfect, because that's the thing I wanted to bring up, because like leaving the store, because I started to really actually realize that I was having an influence on my environment, I paused on purpose. And, you know, it made me remember that we used to talk about the pause. And so I want to talk with you about the pause. But that particular day that you're talking about, I remember the day, and I remember us going to restaurant week, but I don't remember anybody's reaction to me, nor me doing anything, not even looking, just except for maybe I was looking for you guys. But that is the pause.
We were all whispering. That's why I was so, because
that's so funny. So this is the question. What then does it mean to pause, and how do you do it? And so even though we're kind of talking about actually stopping in physical space, you know, if we're thinking about moving from winter into spring, what is the importance of pausing? What is pausing as part of an intentional practice? What do you mean by pausing?
Well, talking about the geisha secret, we were talking about it as far as entering a room. You can kind of just, like, when you walk into a room, ladies, you could do this. Practice this at home. Whenever you go into a place, when you are in a doorway, instead of just rushing through, or instead of hoping nobody notices you, or, you know, doing whatever, you don't have to be dramatic about it. Don't go all, you know, extra diva mode, because then everybody's like, this half a crazy. But when you get to that doorway, stop and breathe like for a minute, and then walk in. And a lot of times when you do that, people's eyes are automatically drawn to you. And because you did that, because people are so used to people moving all the time, the person that's still usually catches the eye. And so then those eyes begin to follow you around. And so that's the I guess, physical manifestation of pausing. But when you talk about like the other end of that, you know, part of cocooning for me this past week, was pausing, but it was pausing in a spiritual sense. And I was telling you, Buddha, offline, that the word Selah was just in my mind over and over and over again. And Selah is in the Bible, and it's usually, you know, at the end of a Bible verse that they really want you to stop, pause, think, and meditate about what was just said. And so, you know, in a spiritual sense, that's taking that moment to, if you're in an experience or if you just heard a word that kind of touched with you, instead of moving on to the next thing, stop, you know, pause, think about, you know, what that means for you. So.
And it's interesting because, you know, I know there are a lot of times when just in conversation or, you know, the bigger the group, the more likely it is for people to rush through to the next thing, even when there's something that needs to settle. And I'm always like, don't be afraid of the silence. It was just one, it wasn't even a whole 1 second, you know, let's just sit with that for a second. Let's think about it. So that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know.
People always are uncomfortable with silence for some reason. They feel like they always have to talk, or they always, I think a lot of people feel like they'll go unnoticed if they don't talk. And that's actually interesting, because I know for me, especially, if you talk too much, then I don't notice you. I notice the person that's, even with men, I notice, like, if you're saying too much, I don't want to, I'm not interested in what you're, what you have to say. It's like everything, you know, but it's usually like, you know, the guy that's not saying something, I want to know, what are you thinking? Like, what are you, you know, what's going on in the head of yours, you know, or, you know, whatever. And I think that's just because people are always so afraid of being forgotten that they always feel like they have to be saying something, and you don't.
And so interesting, because I know that, again, back to my introversion, and then just, you know, also being shy at the same time, which they're related but different, you know, I tend to definitely not speak first in a crowd, and most of the times not at all, but, you know, usually last and only when invited to do so. So there are certain people who notice me in a room because they're like, I see you seeing everyone, Nicole. What's on that? What's on your mind? I could tell you're thinking something, which is always true.
I started to notice your side face after that. That's when I said, again, like I said, I've known you all my life, but that's when I was like, she's judging right now.
I'm paying attention to every single thing, and I'm listening, and I don't have to comment on it out loud to you, but I'm, all the comments are going inside me. I got all the comments. Okay. So that's good. I was thinking about the pause too, because the very first time I actually did the physical pause that we're talking about, the stop in the doorway or whatever, you know, we had been talking about it for so long, and I thought it was kind of ridiculous, and I couldn't really picture how it might work. But one particular day, I was feeling really brave, and this one, you know, a few years ago, and I paused while leaving a store, and this old white man, like, think, you know, ZZ Top sort of a thing, was sitting on his motorcycle, and I didn't see him. I was just pausing because I thought nobody was looking. And it was a slow pause. You know, I didn't do too much. And then I just walked on. He was like, yes, you know, or whatever the equivalent was at the time.
Yes, bitch.
We weren't doing that one yet, but it was whatever the equivalent was. He made some kind of a point to let me know that he saw me. And I was embarrassed, but I was happy about it. And I was like, wow, this shit is powerful. Take your time. But for me, I needed to learn how to slow down when doing certain things. Because I tend to, you know, especially for if I'm just running an errand or whatever, just being out in the world, I don't strive to influence my environment or even experience the environment, right? I'm just like, I gotta go get the milk. You know, so I'm going straight to the back, and I'm gonna get the milk, and I'm gonna go back out, as instead of kind of enjoying the process or strolling my way through the grocery store. And so, of course, sometimes you're in a hurry, but I just think it was really telling that I could just slow down and not only enjoy myself more, but people could listen, enjoy me more too. Amen. So it's funny. But the other thing that I do with pausing now, especially in the last couple of months, the last 1 month, is I focus on my breath, on breathing, you know. And that's been an interesting time, because I mean, I told you that maybe 10 years ago is when I very first heard about Andrew Weil's CD on breathing, which was really a great CD. And I did all his breathing exercises and then, you know, life moved on and I forgot about them. But recently I've needed to, or I felt like I needed to stop my shallow breathing that I've done my whole life and kind of holding tension in my body my whole life. And focusing on my breath has, even just for like a week of regularly doing some of his breathing exercises, I could tell, okay, my blood pressure is going to be high if I take it right now, you know, or I know that I've, you know, slept poorly and I'm holding a lot of tension in my body, or I must be getting nervous or I'm worried about something. Like I can feel it a lot. I mean, it's really clear, the mind-body connection, when you're just focusing on, number one, noticing your breath, and then number two, controlling your breath. Like those two things is a spiritual, mental, and physical, process. It's all three at the same time.
Yeah, I think this was on our very maybe one of our very first episodes. We talked about the fact that you and I used to hold our breath.
Yes.
And didn't realize it. And I think when we had that episode, a lot of people were tweeting us that they did the same thing too. And I think for me, when I'm consciously pausing, especially now, like I had to, you know, do a presentation tonight, and I hate talking in front of crowds. I do it for a living, but I mean, I don't like it. But one of the things that I always do is the pause. And then paying attention to how I'm breathing, because then that allows me to, so that my voice is measured, you know, it doesn't appear like I'm nervous. It appears like I'm settled and calm, even if I have, you know, butterflies going on. But it's the intentional focusing on my breath allows me, or focusing on my breathing allows me to close out the other stuff that could be coming in, you know, on the inside and distracting me.
That's good. You know, yeah, I'm like you. I kind of stopped that job that I was doing where I had to kind of be on stage a lot more often presenting and being in front of people. I still have to do it to some degree, but that was one of the things I realized caused me stress. And if I had been focusing on my breath more, then I might not have spent as much time. Like if I really think about the physicality of holding stress in your body, for me, I'm talking about my shoulders all the way up to my ears, basically. You know, and then having to consciously relax my shoulders and like let air go across my shoulders and in my chest. Like that's something that I can definitely feel now. But, you know, when you spend years doing that, you can't help but have a higher blood pressure and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that I wish. And, you know, it's funny for me because being a dancer, like I've been dancing since I was three. I know how to be graceful. I was taught how to be graceful, but nobody ever taught me about, and I guess to a certain extent when I'm standing or moving and dancing and, you know, whatever, it's the breathing that you have to do with dancing, but not when you're just day to day, you know, existing. I wish someone had taught me that when I was younger. Then I was like, well, I mean, they taught me how to be graceful, but I mean, you know, so.
Well, I want to build on that for just a second, you know, that talking about dancing. What are your favorite ways to improve the way you move? You know, like, so, you know, you dance, because, you know, I was thinking about like when you're a teenager, or at least when I was a teenager, I don't know about everybody, but I know that I think Tootie did it and everybody else did it on TV, is that you walk with the book on your head. And you're practicing like strutting and trying to be, you know, tall, and you may be this model, and all the little books you read when you're a teenager, they're like, yeah, put the book on your head, that kind of thing. But, you know, when you're 20 or 30 or 40, that's not how you get in your body. So yeah, dance is one of my things, salsa dancing for me right now. But is there anything else that we could do? Like if we're getting ready for spring and in the winter, what are some movement things we can do to really get into our bodies?
But that's it for me, the dancing, because I like all types of dance. My favorite now as an adult is belly dancing, of course. But those movements help keep me relaxed, but they also help keep me loose. You know, because you're having to move first, you're having to isolate different parts of your body, but even in keeping those movements fluid, you know, it kind of loosens you up, but it makes you feel like, okay, well, if I can move like that in the dance, and can I walk like that, or can I, you know, whatever. And sometimes it was funny. I was, actually out with my best friend. He's a guy. I was out with him the other day, and I didn't even realize that I had the strut happening. Until we were walking out the restaurant, and he was like, you got to walk. Like, your walk right now is everything. And I was laughing because, you know, we went, of course, we went to the same high school. If people don't know, you know, Buddha and I were on a dance team, and we're North Starettes, and mm-hmm. our costumes were, we had like these short gold sequin.
Very short,
like inappropriately short.
No, I was thinking inappropriate, but I wasn't gonna say it.
After you graduated, that was the year that we did the dance, and we got on the floor on the football field, and they sewed tassels to the bottom of the dresses. But anyway, they also went with black fishnets and what we affectionately call hoe boots, because they were black, you know,
disco boots.
And the heels weren't even that high, but they were heels, and they made you feel like you were doing it. But anyway, I say all that to say that I had on some black patterned tights and some black, like, boots. Like the he said, he was like, you taking it back to the North Star.
Amen. Amen. That's one of my favorite things to do in the winter, talking about those boots, is whip out some fishnets and my high heel boots and a little short, you know, dress. Amen.
And she moved differently. It creates an entirely different movement. I mean, that's not to say you can't do the movement in flip-flops, because you can, but you feel differently, you know? So yeah. I don't know. But I didn't even realize that I was doing it. So he just started, like, really, like, making fun of me. He was like, no, you doing it right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So, you know, maybe altering the types of shoes or outfits you wear, just, you know, just for fun, you all, not go shopping, but that could be something that could
I got another you. One.
Oh, yeah, go.
Music. Okay, so I had, everybody was talking about Rihanna's Anti album, and I hadn't listened to it until yesterday. Her and Drake's video came out. So I was like, it's on Spotify. Let me take a listen. Mm-hmm. That shit is fire.
Amen.
So the music, her voice, because, you know, Rihanna really, she doesn't, I mean, I know we got Rihanna stans or whatever, but Rihanna, whatever.
Don't tweet us.
Right. Don't tweet us about Rihanna. What I will say, though, is her voice is perfect on this album, and I did not skip a track on it, but I say all that to say that I listened to it for the first time this morning, and I found myself moving in the mirror, and I was like, I feel yes. And then I looked on Instagram, and Gabby Union had done an Instagram video of how she felt in the mirror listening to Rihanna. And I totally related, because I had just done that a couple of hours before. So I just want to say music sometimes
can make
you feel, you know, in a different way.
I'm going to try that out. So I haven't listened to any of her album yet, but yeah, I have to agree with you with music, because, you know, I kind of have some silly little rituals that I do around the house with, you know, dancing around and carrying on and just being silly and having fun, but, you know, getting in my body with a lot of dancing and movement. So that's good. I like that dance. And then music that can inspire you to dance, but it's really kind of you to, it's not about, you know, what are the steps you're doing. It's just feeling like yourself, whatever that is in that moment, I think. And then for me, some of the things that I do, I talked about this last winter because I realized that it was a little bit more than a year ago now is when I bought Payo, and I don't get any kickbacks because I'm not a Beachbody coach, although I was, but I'm not. So I'm not going to get any kickbacks. However, I bought Payo, and it's a, you know, like a 90 day or 3 month or something like that yoga program. And I pretty much do the same one, like several times a week, but I love it because I can always kind of see where my body is, what I'm doing. I'm stretching, I'm getting stronger. Today I can tell my muscles are genuinely tired. It's not just I'm being lazy, I'm actually tired today. You know, I can kind of check in with myself by doing this Pyo, which is basically Pilates and yoga. So if you all do some kind of yoga or poses or stretching, I just think that's really important. And I probably underestimated that a lot in my 20s and 30s, but I really embrace it in my 40s. And my aunt, I showed you. My yes. aunt, she's part of Saints and Sages or something like that. I forgot what they call it, but she's like,
that's going to be you. That's goals. That's goals.
She was featured in her local paper.
Instagram. You got to tell people how old your aunt is so they can really appreciate how epic.
My aunt is 86 this year, and she was featured in a paper for participating in her church's yoga.
Y'all, she is like Buddha in her 40s.
She's doing like a lotus pose in a chair and laughing. She's so full of life. She's wonderful. So, but you know, she knows too. You got to do some yoga. You got to stretch your body out so you can still be, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, big or small or how well you can do poses or not. It's just feeling your body. All right. So last thing before we move into the last call is, you know, we have just a few weeks left before spring. Is there anything else we should do? Is there any other lessons or anything I forgot to ask you about that you want to share? What can we do to get ready for the spring? What can we keep in mind?
Clear stuff out. Ooh, I got a good example. I was at a friend's house, and he was talking about this big party that he always has going on in the spring. And we actually were talking about, because he has a barbecue pit, just this huge barbecue pit or whatever. But anyway, it's overrun right now with grass. So I was just saying, it's too cold, you know, to, you know, get all this stuff clean. And he was like, this is the time to do it, because then when the spring comes and it gets warm and everything starts getting overrun, he was like, while everything's dead, clean it out. So, you know, that's a lesson. If you have old stuff hanging around, doesn't matter if it's clothes, doesn't matter if it's, you know, something emotional or, you know, whatever, use this last part of winter to clean all that stuff out so you can, I guess, blossom properly, you know.
I like that. Oh, I might like the even way you phrase it. Everything's dead, clean it out. Or whatever's dead, clean it out.
Shout out to Riff.
Oh, I'm a teaser now. There's going to be some good teasing coming. I can't wait. And anyway, no, that's really good. I'm so tickled. I'm going to hold it in, but I really want to laugh. All right. That's good. I like that. And it's funny because mine is the exact opposite, which is, you know, versus cleaning, embrace the current moment. Like, I'm really excited about the spring, which is still, you know, a few weeks away. But at the same time, right, and, you know, I'm building energy about it, you know, so I'm raising my chi. That's what Sam would say, Samuel Reynolds, the astrologer.
Our
astrologer.
Astrologer, right?
The official astrologer of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine.
Real talk.
But I'm not trying to rush the calendar at the same time, right? So even though I'm excited about it realizing it's coming later. But as I told you, I'm learning how to embrace the beauty of winter right now. So, you know, I think there's a lesson in that, in learning to be okay with the current moment. So the current moment might be everything's dead, clean it out, you know, but whatever this moment is, you know, we can have some anticipation about future moments and we can have some nostalgia about past moments, but, you know, really be here in the now. So, all right. Any other lessons before we go to our cheers?
I can't think of anything.
All right. So do you have any cheers, and where can they find you?
Cheers to Twitter. And the hashtag Obama and Kids.
Oh, I know.
That was greatness. That was really, really cool. You know, I'm really going to miss, you know, President and First Lady Obama when they leave office, and to see like the Obama and Kids thing. So to see the children's expressions, first of all, to see how personable he is with the children, that's number one. But to actually see how they react to him, because kids are super honest, you know.
Yes, they are.
And so seeing them in those moments, and my favorite one is the one I showed you guys in WhatsApp, was the class picture. you know, where he's surrounded by the kids, but there is some little boy up at the top row shooting his shot with this, with his little classmate, giving her a kiss on the cheek in the photo. And that is just, that is so hilarious to me. But anyway, that's my cheers to Twitter for bringing that positivity, because sometimes we can get bogged down in the same topics over and over and over again. I'm so tired of the political tweets and arguing over Bernie and Hillary and Trump, and I just that's draining. And then to see Obama and kids floating through the timeline, that was like a spirit lift for me. But y'all can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SojoXOXO. That's SojoXOXO. You guys can also follow the hashtag SelfCareIs, where we are actively practicing self-care. So if you use that hashtag, tell us how you're actively practicing self-care. And my personal website is phenomenal.com. And that's where we're focusing on self-care, self-care practices and things like that. And that address is phyinomenal. That's phenomenal.com.
All right. And yeah, I love that hashtag Obama and kids. You can actually, Michael Skolnick was the one who started it. And if you go Google him or find him on Twitter, he has it pinned to the top of his profile right now while he started it. Said he hopes his 2-year-old son reads it, and he has this cute picture of President Obama holding a baby in an elephant costume. And you know, don't read the comments, you know, whether they're on Twitter or anywhere else. Just look at the picture.
Just look at the picture. Scroll, look at the picture.
You don't even read the tweets that go with the picture, because sometimes people are trying to fool you. At any rate, who was my cheer? Oh, I had two cheers. So one is a sad cheers, actually. But it's to my uncle, Grisby Collier, who passed away last week. And it's really, you know, he would have been 80. And he's actually the younger brother of my aunt that we were just talking about earlier. He was funeralized yesterday. But he would have been 80 on leap day. He's a leap baby. And he was a retired command master chief in the Navy. I was proud of him for that, and for having a degree in applied mathematics, because I don't know a lot about applied mathematics, but I know if you have a degree in it, that means you're smart.
Whole family smart.
You know, and he was just kind of well known for, you know, being smart and witty. Like, he was pretty funny. Like, the thing that stood out to me is he said that the Navy wouldn't let him have a birthday sometimes, so they changed his birthday to February 28th. On paperwork, even though he was actually born on February 29th. So anyway, so rest in peace, Uncle. You know, I'll miss you. And, you know, thank you for your time here on Earth with us. But the other one is for Kelsey Scott. And I know we've given her a couple of cheers. I know. But today is Kelsey's birthday, and today's the 23rd. And so I'm not sure when we'll actually publish this. But so shout out to Kelsey. She is Rose on season 2 of How to Get Away with Murder. And we had her featured on the show, episode 44. Yeah, back when she had just been on the Oscar-winning movie for 12 Years a Slave. So at any rate, so Kelsey's my girl, and today is her birthday, so cheers to her. But you can catch me on Twitter at NDCHARP, that's NDC Harp, like the instrument, or CocoStudio.com, that's COCO Studio singular, CocoStudio.com. And you can find us on, we gotta tell Miss, where do we find Miss Smart?
Oh, you can find Miss Smart at think_P_smart.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter. And if you you can find us on Twitter, actually, at Whiskey Wine Moon, and you'll see all of our handles there. We're also on Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, TuneIn Radio, and on the internet at whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. Don't forget, please leave us feedback or a 5-star review. Remember, sharing is caring. If you like what you heard, don't keep it to yourself. So with that, we'll wrap it up, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. Cheers!
Cheers!